Well, it's 6:06, and just been looking over some stories on this issue coming out of Trump punishing businesses with tariffs that some of the established Republicans are totally opposed to. It's kind of interesting. If you are going to save businesses in America, as Trump claims he's going to, then what does the punishment look like? And so he's claiming it's a 35% tariff. And so here's a little bit on that. Trump and his 35% tariff, and some conservatives, including Sarah Palin and other people, immediately called this out as being a unacceptable approach. So what do you think? 523-1450, check it out.
Let's bring in Ben White, chief economic correspondent for Politico. Good to see you, Ben.
Good to be here.
So his campaign was all about bringing back jobs. This is sort of under that big tent. What does he think he's going to accomplish with this?
Well, the interesting thing about this is he's talking about punishing these companies and putting taxes and tariffs on them in a case where he's actually done this so far with United Technologies, the owner of the air conditioning company. He actually gave them $7 million in tax breaks. So he's used the carrot so far and not so much the stick. And I think what he's going to try to do is use this as a PR strategy to try to scare companies into thinking, well, if we are going to move these jobs to Mexico, we're going to get in a big fight with Donald Trump. It's not going to look good publicly. So maybe they think twice about doing it. But this is so far outside the mainstream of conservative economic thought. Generally, they're free market people who don't believe in taking on individual companies and punishing them in this way. Let the free market decide. And tariffs on companies that make goods in Mexico and China, that's an invitation to a trade war. That's an invitation to higher prices for American consumers. It's a dangerous thing to do.
When you talk about individual companies, his campaign staff will talk about Carrier.
Yeah.
Of course, 1,000 jobs that were going to go away that now are going to stay in the United States. Is this a one-off, or is there some sort of a strategy that he has that he thinks he can use time and time and time again?
Right. Well, I think the idea of using the bully pulpit and trying to intimidate companies is a strategy he probably thinks he can use to win the PR war. I mean, it's important to remember in the case of Carrier, they're still moving over 1,000 jobs to Mexico. They're getting these tax breaks. It's not as if they've been punished heavily. So there is a bit of a playbook here now. If you're an American company that thinks maybe we could get some tax breaks out of this administration by just threatening to move to Mexico, and obviously Senator Bernie Sanders wrote about this, you just say, look, we're going to move this factory. Maybe we can get Trump and his administration to give us a good deal to stay. So that's also sort of a dangerous precedent when you're starting to offer these carrots. Companies think, hey, this is a good strategy to get a good tax deal to threaten to move jobs overseas.
Look, nobody's going to try and make the argument that the economy can't be improved if there aren't people who aren't hurting. Having said that, you talk to folks who are in the Obama administration. They always bristle throughout the course of this campaign at the idea that the economy had not improved under Barack Obama. And the numbers would certainly bear them out, whether you look at housing or the unemployment rate or how much money people are making. And all, by all those sort of standards, people are doing better than they were then.
Yeah.
So he does, Donald Trump, in many ways, inherit something tremendously different, isn't he, than what Barack Obama inherited?
Yeah, it couldn't be any different. I mean, Obama came into office with the stock market crashing, with the auto industry in crisis, with the worst banking crisis we've ever seen, unemployment heading to 10%. We're now at 4.6%, something.
Barack Obama, an unrecognized economic genius. All right, here's a little bit from Mike Pence. Well, you can see how they're going to play this, aren't you? Donald Trump didn't do anything. He just happened to inherit the greatest recovery in history. Check this out from the vice president.
On a day-by-day basis, isn't that picking winners and losers? I mean, Sarah Palin calls it crony capitalism.
No, I don't think it's picking winners and losers at all. What the president-elect did with Carrier was simply reach out one American to another and just ask them to reconsider. He told them, we're going to do exactly what we said we would do in this campaign. We're going to make the American economy more competitive. We're going to get tougher and smarter on trade deals. And that was changed circumstances from when they made their decision to leave last February. And he asked them to reconsider, and they did. And I think that, the message that sends across the American economy to businesses that may be considering leaving our country is that things are really changing, that we've got a president that's going to fight for jobs and fight to bring back the American economy.
And the president.
All right, so that's Pence, and they're going to do it business by business. Here's a little bit more on this from Fox News and the idea that a 35% tariff by Trump would be going too far.
Right now, member of the Trump Transition Executive Committee, Congressman Collins, good to see you.
Yeah, good morning, Maria.
We have a lot to talk to you about. We definitely want to get to this 35% and whether or not he's overstepping by threatening companies. But first, give us your take on the growing list of Secretary of State names out there.
Well, I think, again, this is one of the more important cabinet positions, not to say they're not all important. And a few of us, Newt Gingrich, myself, and Kellyanne Conway, were all pretty vocal when it came to our comments about former Governor Mitt Romney. And the supporters of Donald Trump would prefer to be someone other than former Governor Romney. He was certainly on the short list. So for whatever reason, President-elect Trump has decided to expand the list. I think that's good. It's a critical position. So at this point, he'll be the one making the decision. But as we saw with Ben Carson, that doesn't mean the process is not moving along quickly. More than half of the cabinet is now filled, 8 out of the 15 positions. Way ahead of anyone's anticipated schedule. So great progress. Other names to come forward, and he's certainly taking his time, and we should all respect that on the Secretary of State.
Dagan. The phone call that Donald Trump took from the leader of Taiwan, again breaking protocol, going back to 1979, that was intentional, was it not? That wasn't a mistake.
Well, I wouldn't call it a mistake. To me, Donald Trump, as he was not politically correct at all times, I don't expect he's going to pay much attention to protocol. This is a time when he needs to get things done. That's what a CEO does. He took a call from the president of Taiwan. Obviously, he knew the call was coming in. I don't see anything wrong with that. And if others, get all caught up in their underwear over it, that's just them being hung up on this protocol. Donald Trump's going to be a different kind of president, speaking to the public directly through his tweets, and the press has to get over that. And I think America finds it just very refreshing that Donald Trump's in his gut is going to do what he wants. He took a congratulatory call. He's not currently the president. I think the one China policy is something we've had for a long time. And taking the phone call from the president of Taiwan, that doesn't change that at
all.
Are
you all caught up in your underwear about this?
No.
Or do we say down south, don't get your pants?
All right, so who knows what it would look like, but I don't think anybody believes that Trump wouldn't do this, but it could be seen as a very manipulative or counterproductive situation. Now, 523-1450, if you're a business owner and you have some opinions on this, and if you've had any experience working with businesses across the border, 523-1450. But it would be nice to think that there was a little bit of pushback. And I think the main thing is that the policies of Obama, he can pretend that, all of these people can pretend that he was on the verge of some sort of a massive recovery, but within the context of Obamanomics and his approach to economics, it was a regressive system. The rules on business tax and corporations tax, that type of thing, were bad. And, we've got some of the worst in the world. Of course, businesses are going to think, especially international businesses, are going to think about relocating somewhere else where they can have their main tax rate be much lower. So anyway, we'll take a break here and a little more Roy Buchanan for you. Kelly O'Connell, 616-523-1450 to call in on AM Las Cruces. You're listening to KOBE, and we're going to just take a little segue here. And the greatest unknown guitarist right here for you. At 6:20 here, and you're maybe wondering what the temp is out there, and I'm looking right now, and it says 39 degrees, so it seems colder out there than that, but partly cloudy today, or should I say partly cloudy now, or pretty much for most of the day, according to the old app. There was a police shooting of a gentleman that was supposedly, and this is in Las Cruces, killed by officers, reportedly suicidal and armed with a gun. And the investigators are looking into this gentleman by the name of Josh Clay Dunn. And officers were told Dunn was possibly suicidal, could be armed with a 9mm handgun and a hunting knife, and they went to where he was staying before 4 p.m. on Friday on December 2nd, and when they could not find him, they began looking for his gray Toyota 4Runner. And about an hour later, LCPD located the 4Runner at the Sleep Inn at 2121 South Trevise. And they found out that he had a third room on the third floor room. And they spent a couple of hours trying to negotiate with him. And hostage negotiators and SWAT arrived. He supposedly refused to cooperate and exit the hotel room. And then investigators said shots were fired shortly after 10:30 p.m. and Dunn was struck at least once, transported to Memorial Medical Center, and where he died. So if you know anything about this case, 523-1450. And looking for anything else here on this story. Now, there's another kind of interesting, weird story. Police officer exposed himself, answered a door completely naked for a pizza delivery woman. And the cop has been identified as 28-year-old William Gonzalez, an off-duty LCPD officer. He opened the door naked. And I've got a little bit on that here for you.
Good afternoon. A New Mexico police officer on administrative leave after he admits to answering the door naked for a pizza delivery woman. He says there's more to the story, but so does the driver. News 13's Cheyenne Cope has a story from Las Cruces.
A 20-year-old female Domino's employee was making a delivery when she says she witnessed something very disturbing. A man, now identified as 28-year-old William Gonzalez, an off-duty Las Cruces police officer, opened the door naked. According to the police report obtained from the Las Cruces News Sun, Gonzalez, a 5-year veteran of the department, claimed that he had just gotten out of the shower and that he had no idea it would be a girl delivering his pizza. But the young woman told police his hair was not wet and he didn't have a towel. She said that after Gonzalez signed the receipt, he told her to wait while he got her a tip. He returned, still naked with the cash. The incident has people in town talking.
That's not really right for somebody to be answering the door like that. Obviously, somebody would look out before they answer, or it's a girl or anybody, excuse me, let me get some clothes on or something.
The Domino's employee notified her supervisor, who contacted police. The police report says Gonzalez asked the responding officer to, quote, make this go away. But he didn't. He forwarded the investigation to the appropriate people, resulting in the officer being cited for indecent exposure. Las Cruces Police Chief Jaime Montoya released a statement saying, in part, it is truly sad that an employee, knowing right from wrong, still does wrong against all reason. It's also sad that an employee will put a fellow employee in a tough position. People who live in Las Cruces can't believe an officer would act this way.
Anybody with common sense knows you don't do something like that, much less a police officer.
In Las Cruces, Cheyenne Cope, KRQE News 13.
The delivery driver says this wasn't the only incident with Gonzalez. She says months earlier, he answered the door in only shorts and made a joke saying his friends dared him to answer the door naked. The driver says she didn't think it was a big deal until this happened.
Holy cow. He may be suspended for a day or two. So, anyway, let's take a little segue here. And a little bit of live Roy Buchanan. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. You never know what's going to happen. Too bad there's not a nudist colony here that you could send him out there to be the, you know, kind of the cop for that. We'll be right back. So wouldn't you like to know what happened in that shooting? I mean, a guy's suicidal, goes and somebody in his family calls up. How would you feel on something like this? Somebody in your family is suicidal. You let the authorities know you think that, you know, he's got a gun, a knife, whatever. You think he might be wanting to harm himself, and then the authorities go track him down and end up shooting him. Now, I don't know, you know, it doesn't really say enough about the case, but I mean, it sounds like they'd shot. I mean, did they shoot through the door? Did they kick the door down? And you know what I'm saying? So I would. Hello, hello.
Good morning, Kelly.
Hey, Carlos.
Yes.
Hey, you're echoing quite a bit. I don't know if you can do anything, but what's going on?
Well, I just turned it off, and what I was going to tell you is that I am not surprised of the email that you got, because that's what I do for a living. You know, I'm a fighter against cybersecurity, and I'm always spreading the word about phishing emails and data security, and it happens, and it is getting closer, and I do a lot of training about the topic and the subject, and it's unfortunate that it happened to you, but what it tells me is that, you know, that it reinforces my message that it is getting closer to Las Cruces, and as you know, I work for New Mexico State University, and that's why I spread that word.
What are you seeing? What do you say it's getting closer? What's going on? Because I've heard a couple of people say that they've had stuff like this. Is it getting worse? Is it getting worse?
Yes, it is getting worse, and it is a threat. And basically, what it is that it's causing a bunch of you know, there's a virus, and virus come with you know, many flavors, and a lot of them can do a lot more damage, and some will be right. But you know, the biggest damage is that they will encrypt all of your data, and you will be unable to unencrypt it, and then you will basically lose all of that data unless that you pay the individuals that actually send you the malware or the virus.
All right, so I get this, and for some reason your phone call is going off the charts on my.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, because it sounds fine on my side.
Okay, no, but
maybe I can call you some other day.
No, don't leave, because I think this is a good call. But I'm just looking at my the level of my of the sound coming in and everything, and it's going off the chart for some reason when you're talking. But so anyway, all right, somebody sends you a virus, you know, you open an email, whatever, it opens up, and for example, in my case, it sent out an email to everybody on my list. What exactly is going on there? What is the people that sent that out, what are they gaining, or what are they trying to gain by doing that?
Well, it depends. Sometimes, I mean, they can be using some, you know, like in this case, I mean, they basically, you know, some of those are called script kiddies, and they are very, you know, I mean, they are really learning about hacking, and the experienced ones, I mean, they're the ones that will be gaining potentially, you know, I mean, what they're wanting is, you know, money, because basically, I mean, if I mean, that may not be the case on the virus that you actually got, but say that you would have gotten one of those viruses that would have encrypted all of your information, right, on your computer or various computers, and then on the, even including your work computer. And then typically after them encrypting your data, what they would basically do is send you a message and basically saying, if you want to unencrypt your data, send us this much money, and they'll give you the bank account and all of that stuff. And if you would refuse to pay it, then you would basically lose your data. I mean, you wouldn't be able to access your data or reconstruct your data unless that you would have a backup.
Wow, that's amazing.
So that would be it. Or the other thing is that they would basically just you know, cut an availability of service, which is potentially what they did on you know, on your computer. Because, you know, automatically a message went to all of your contacts, and that virus is spread around, and potentially, who knows, maybe down the road, because sometimes, I mean, this happens all behind the scenes, there's malware, and malware is basically malicious software. And then what, one of the things that they could have potentially planted on your computer is what they call a logic bomb, and then it will get activated, you know, sometime in the future, a month, a week, a day, a year, who knows? Sometimes you never know what information security professionals recommend. The safest thing to do would be just to go ahead and reformat your computer again, your system.
All right, so you're saying it's getting worse. Could you go into a little bit of detail on that?
Well, it is getting worse because, I mean, there's a lot more activity, a lot more threats. And when I say that it's getting closer to the cruise, I don't know if you heard, but like 2 or 3 weeks ago, city of El Paso lost like about $3 million through a phishing attack. Actually.
Wow.
So what it is that redirected where the money actually went. So it is getting closer, and now, so I heard that story in El Paso, and now I hear that you actually fell victim of a virus that came through email.
The funny thing was it was sent to me by somebody in the DA's office, which, you know, I mean, so anyway. But, okay, so the weird thing about this was it was in a Dropbox account, and a Dropbox is I'm trying to remember. Maybe it is Dropbox, but I'm trying to remember the name of the company that I had mentioned, but it's an online account where you can put data that's too big to send to people. And then they go there, go to the link and click on it. It pops it open and then you get the information out of there. But if you get a link like that, you shouldn't open it.
Right. And that's the message that if you don't know who the sender is, but in this case, I mean, somebody actually, potentially compromised, the account of that other person that the TA's officer masqueraded that person's email, and therefore when you actually saw it, you were like, oh, this looks legitimate, and that's why you clicked on the link. But it cannot. I mean, in your case, it was a Dropbox link, but it can be sometimes any other link. You know, as long as they can get you to hit and click on that link, the payload behind that link will actually get installed on your computer, which is malware,
all right,
malicious software.
So give people some advice. I know that you're working for the university. You're not doing this as a private business owner. But if you think you may have been infected, what should you do?
Well, in this case, probably the safest thing would always be to just to be 100% sure would be just go ahead and reformat your computer, because I mean there. You will not have 100% assurance that your idea, just by running your antivirus and then getting rid of that virus. I mean, you will have not 100% assurance, and therefore, information security professionals always recommend just go ahead and reformat your computer just to be sure, because you never know. Like I said, they could have planted a logic bomb, which could get activated in a month or 2 months, and then it could what it would end up actually doing is encrypting your whole computer.
Wow. Well, I know some people who could actually